All right, 7:15 now on this Wednesday morning, October 23rd. A warm, dry week ahead. Next 10 days, really. Halloween, if you're expecting that first real cold front of the season like a lot of us do on Halloween, not going to happen. Not according to Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana local your weather forecaster. We're getting ready to talk about this move by the state police at the behest of Governor Landry, as I understand it, to clean out this homeless encampment. And kind of push him down a couple of blocks because of the Taylor Swift concert. They also have erected a black metal grate around Donkin Plaza, which is supposed to be a rideshare area for people before and after the concerts. And I guess this brings up a question of how do you establish priorities here? Super Bowl, long way away. Taylor Swift concerts, not so much. So Councilmember Leslie Harris, whom we're waiting to speak to, tried to slow down this effort, and I think she got the state police's attention because the captain himself said that it would be not a real good thing to scatter people around before they had a place to go, especially if they were sitting on homeless vouchers or vouchers to get themselves housing. So we'll try to figure out what's going on here with all of that. I would ask you at 504-260-1870 to respond to this text. And somebody from, I'll just give the last four digits, 6758, says, Leslie Harris wants to, quote, feed the strays. The result will be more problem people flocking to New Orleans. Most local governments do not have problems with mass homeless. Never feed the strays. And I don't know if this person goes to church or not, but these are human beings we're talking about. And are you really reducing them to strays? With that, Leslie Harris joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Leslie?
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
I'm okay. Somebody texted in, you missed this, and said, Leslie Harris wants to feed the strays. The results will be more problem people flocking to New Orleans. Most local governments do not have problems with mass homelessness. Never feed the strays. I got to remind this person, these are people. This is not a stray animal or something here. Your response to that, and I guess as the response and the way some people feel about homeless people?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're getting. We're getting people who, unfortunately, see homeless people as not human and not as who they are, which are our neighbors and our family members. We've talked about this before. A lot of the people who are living out in the encampments are New Orleanians who have lost their homes because of high housing prices, high insurance costs. There are a lot of domestic violence victims out there who are escaping predatory partners. There are children and women who are living in cars out in the encampment. So to call people strays is dehumanizing, and exactly why we have to have a strategy of housing folks out of the encampments and not just sweeping them under the rug. The other thing that I'll say is this. We are one of the few cities in the state that have a strategy for closing the encampments and getting people housed. Jefferson Parish doesn't even have a homeless shelter. So there are a lot of people who are coming from across the state to New Orleans because they know that we have resources here. Do I think that's a problem? Yes, because other parishes should have a strategy that's similar to ours to house people, to make sure that they're not falling out of housing, and to get people into safe and clean housing. So sure, there might be people coming from other parishes, but that's only because those other parishes don't have the resources that we're trying to muster.
And somebody else texted in, feeding the strays is exactly what Jesus did every day. So I'll pass that along as well for people that maybe go to church on Sunday and then don't carry it with them throughout the week. What exactly was the effort by the state police? What did they do on Monday and yesterday, rather, Tuesday, beg your pardon, day before yesterday, Leslie? I'm a little bit discombobulated here. What did they attempt to do, and tell me where we are now?
So what we learned sort of Friday and over the weekend is that there was a meeting that was had whereby the governor would have the state police go out and give notices to people living in the encampments and in the French Quarter that they would have to move. When I saw the state police out there, and Nate Fields, who's the director of our Office of Homeless Strategies and Services, met with Troop NOLA, the Commander Hyatt saw the efforts that were taking place that were successful. We walked the encampments with him, and he said, we see that your strategy is working. We see that the Calliope encampment, at least, has been shrunk because of our efforts, and that he would try to get the governor to back off of doing a sweep, which would literally just push people into neighborhoods and onto private property. Once people are on private property, it's very hard to do outreach. We know that. I get calls about it because people will say, well, I have permission, and, you know, we have a lot of property that is blighted, we can't find the owners, and therefore you can't determine whether or not people have permission or not. It's very hard for the city to go onto that property. So the Commander Hyatt saw the efforts and said, hey, we will try to back off of the intention to sweep these encampments. Now, whether or not and what's going to happen, we are waiting to see what the governor is going to do after talking to Hyatt. So we're really in a waiting pattern, but we are at the ready to help folks to try to get them emergency shelter if that's what it takes. But what we can't have, again, is for a all-encompassing sweep that just really does nothing and has no plan behind it and just pushes people into other neighborhoods and other places, because that's exactly what will happen if there's no plan to get people shelter.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member, 721 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. Somebody texted in, Leslie, and I don't know if they are aware of your or familiar with your history with working to house the homeless or not. They are postulating, and I'd like you to address this because, you know, they might speak for thousands of people. Who knows? That this is just because the state is doing this and you didn't have a problem when the city cleaned up the encampments. But explain the difference, what happened logistically between these events.
Sure. So what the city has done, really since Nate Fields has been in our city, we created an Office of Homelessness Services and Strategies. And with Unity and Travelers Aid, we have done targeted outreach to people living in the encampments. And so what you're seeing the city do is strategically close encampments, but we're actually housing people. We're getting people into housing. So there was a great article on NOLA.com that did an interview of some people who have been housed from the encampments. We're putting them in apartments and homes, getting them caseworker and case management, making sure that they have food and furniture, and getting them off the streets with services that surround them and bolster them so that they can live, rather than doing what the governor intends to do, which is sweeping the encampments and closing them and not providing shelter for these folks. So there's a huge difference with what the city has done, and we've housed almost 600 people since the beginning of this year versus sweeping people away into neighborhoods and not having a plan for them after the sweeps. Many of the people who are in the encampments right now have vouchers and are just waiting on a landlord to take those vouchers to get them into safe housing. So again, there's a huge difference between what the city has done, which is systematic decommissioning of the encampments, getting people housed with services surrounding them, versus sweeping the encampments.
So with that being said, this is a huge event for the city. This Taylor Swift thing draws worldwide attention.
Sure.
How do you balance having a safe environment and a clean environment for the people that are visiting for Taylor Swift with the homeless encampments in the short term? Should this have been done before? Thoughts, et cetera?
Well, we have a plan to end street homelessness by 2025. This has been a publicized plan. Tommy and I have talked about it before. And guess what? Taylor Swift has visited other major cities like L.A. and San Francisco that have a huge homeless problem, and that, you know, those governments are not doing what this governor intends, which is just sweeping people under the rug so you don't see them. That is not a plan. That is literally displacing people who are already displaced from homes and just getting them out of the way for a three-day concert so people don't see them. That's not a plan. That's just inhumane, and it's just not real. And guess what? We need to have real planning to get people into home, get them on a bus to back to where they want to be with their families, and that's what we have been doing.
So, again, you would say that leave it like it is for this weekend with the Taylor Swift concerts? I'm not pressing. Well, I guess I am pressing. I'm just trying to ask.
Yeah. No, I would say that, especially the Cali Open Campment, where there's not drug dealing going on, and Commander Hyatt said that there's not a lot of predatory behavior happening. Just leave it as it is. Let us take care of it. Let us get those people housed, and we will continue on with the plan. But just displacing people, again, into neighborhoods where we can't find them and locate them and get them the services that they need is not a plan. It's not humane, and it's not the way to go.
What do you think happens from here as far as the state police and the governor's office?
I hope that they back off. I really do. I hope that they see that what we have done is working and that they let us be. If they want to do anything, they can provide additional vouchers for homes. They can provide additional caseworkers. And if they want to help, they can provide additional funding for the plan that we have going forward. And we've asked the governor for that. We haven't gotten it yet.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Leslie. It is 7:30. We'll come back and talk with Renee Pastorek, Chief Economic Development Officer for the DDD, about the effect of Taylor Swift and the Swifties on a downtown economy. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:46, 14 till 8. Weather should be perfect for Swifties roaming all over New Orleans. A big deal. This is a worldwide event, really. I don't think people realize this. And I was listening to first of all, it's Tommy Tucker, WWL. I don't know if I said that or not, but, you know, Newell was talking about this, not to be negative about it, but when you think about this Taylor Swift phenomenon, that it was the target of a terrorist attack, and we'll talk about the security aspects with Ronald Surpass after. The only reason I say that is that this is more than just a concert. This is a big, giant deal, and with that, as the context, Renee Pastorek joins us now, Chief Economic Development Officer for the Downtown Development District. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about this Taylor Swift series of concerts. Selling out the Dome 3 days in a row, that's an accomplishment.
That is huge. You know, and like you said, one thing that people who aren't familiar or fans of Taylor Swift really should understand, this is an international phenomenon. We're going to have people coming from around the country and potentially around the world to come for 3 days of sold-out concerts. Most concerts, when they come to New Orleans, you know, they might be trying to hit the larger regional market up to Baton Rouge, to Biloxi. This is really pulling people from around the entire globe.
Tell me about the Swift lift to the economy, because we're going to talk to Mike Haas in a little bit over at the Superdome about what's going on at Champion Square and people lining up to buy merchandise already. What kind of lift is this going to be for the city economy, for the downtown area, et cetera?
So this is going to be incredible for downtown and really the entire city. So you mentioned 3 sold-out concerts. That's 50,000 people per night, 150,000 attendees, many of them coming from outside the city. The U.S. Travel Association estimates that Swifties are spending about $1,300 in the local economy when they come to the Eras Tour. So that's about $195 million generated into the local economy. Something else to think about, too, you know, you have restaurants, organizations, venues around the city hosting Taylor Swift events, specials. And what that's really going to bring, in addition to those people coming to the concert, is people without tickets, myself included. My family, you know, we have brunch reservations on Saturday just to come downtown, spend money, and see the hoopla, you know, all around the city. And you're going to have plenty of people doing that who just want to be near the event.
Let's talk about some of the, well, first of all, things don't just happen, right? And if you got kids, allow me a little bit of latitude here, Renee. If you got kids, you realize when it comes to volunteering at schools, et cetera, things like setting up chairs, and I'm not trying to be stupid here, but things don't just happen. There takes a lot of people working behind the scenes. It takes a lot of preparations. And unless you're ever involved in something like that or involved in the preparations, you don't get that and you don't realize that. With that being in mind, talk about some of the preparations that the city has made for the Swifties, for the concerts, including things like ride sharing, right?
Yeah, so especially because we're planning to host the Super Bowl in just a couple of months, the Taylor Swift concert has really acted as a kind of preliminary deadline to getting a lot of things in order. Certainly, you've seen, if you've been downtown, Poydras Street, it's fully reconstructed. The striping is set to be done relatively soon. There's no planned traffic closures in advance of the concert. All streets will remain open. There are some potential closures that may happen, you know, as crowds thicken. But NOPD, all the public safety officers are all hands on deck. We're bringing in, you know, help from the state and federal resources as well. So public safety, certainly. We're no stranger to hosting events. That's one of our greatest assets. With respect to transportation, rideshare, you know, one thing that is being tested in advance of the Super Bowl for the Taylor Swift concert is rideshare pickup at Duncan Plaza along Gravier Street and Perdido. So this is going to be a new pickup point that will really streamline rideshare services in partnership with those rideshare entities. And again, serve as a testing ground for the Super Bowl, which would go through the same thing. I do want to mention in Duncan Plaza, the city's also hosting a free festival with all sorts of food and music running throughout the length of the weekend. So people waiting for their rideshare or just people who want to be downtown, there'll be plenty to do in that area.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Renee Pastorek about the phenomenon that is the Taylor Swift series of concerts. Is there a name for it? Swift Mania? What are we calling it, Renee?
I don't know. Come up with a name.
Swift Lift. Yeah, we'll come up with a name. We'll call it the Swift of Weekend or something like that. 751 traffic now, WWL. 756 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Renee Pastorek, Chief Economic Development Officer for the Downtown Development District. I'm sure I did not come up with this. I'm sure I heard it somewhere. But let's go with Swifty Graw. What do you think, Renee?
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
But again, I'm sure I didn't come up with that, just so nobody accuses me of stealing anything. Let's talk about the ride sharing. And somebody texted in about pedicabs and the logistics of all of these people trying to leave the dome or get a ride share. I guess one thing that is in New Orleans' favor is, and it also helps for the Super Bowl, is the proximities of hotel to the concert venue, right?
That's right. You know, I think if you can walk from your hotel, I would definitely do it. There's going to be a lot of traffic, a lot of people who may be going to, you know, outside locations using rideshare. But that really is one of the best things. You know, I actually traveled to Europe over the summer for the Taylor Swift concert with my family.
Did you?
And I'll tell you that there is, even in another city, like there is no city that does events like we do in New Orleans. When you see New Orleans and company, and their, you know, mantra that we're built to host, we really are. And I think that I've seen that. And what I'm excited about this concert is that, you know, you see these restaurants all around the city. You see people who are going to be walking straight into the dome for the concert. It's really going to brighten downtown for a three-day period. Everybody's going to just be in a great mood. And it's just really exciting for the city.
Years ago, I can remember going to Pat O'Brien's when we were hosting one Super Bowl or whatever it was. I didn't buy a drink because the fans from both cities were buying drinks for people. And the only reason I bring that up is that when it comes to Swifties and the fans, are they free? I presume you guys have some analysis of the people that come in for the shows and everything. They spend a lot of money, don't they?
They do. You know, and the age demographics that Swifties will be is every, you know, she's been around for 20 years. This is everybody from millennials down to parents and kids down to 6 years old who are coming in for this concert. So, you know, you're going to have people who are willing to put down money at restaurants, at retail. Something else to bring up, too, is that, you know, our hotels are 100% occupied for this event.
Wow.
It's three nights of shows. So people coming in from out of town, they're coming in for one night, maybe another night if they've bought extra tickets, but they're going to be exploring the city those other times. Like I mentioned, you know, when I traveled for the Taylor Swift concert, I went there for the concert but turned it into an entire vacation. So you're going to have people for three nights of shows doing that around the city.
And this phenomenon, they like to hang out with each other, right? I don't mean that pejorative by saying they, but it's like even if you're not going to the concert, Swifties like to hang out with Swifties, which makes it kind of like a Super Bowl with fans, even if they're not going to the game, just one big party. Am I accurate with that, Renee?
That is 100% accurate. And you'll find that at many of the events. You know, I know there's a Taylor Gate event at the Benson Tower just outside the Superdome. A lot of the restaurants are going to have friendship bracelet making events. That's something that they do at the concert. They share bracelets. There's photo ops. I think at Canal Place, you can take a selfie. They updated their little living wall with a Taylor Swift quote. There's just
Thank you, Renee.